Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing to read the Sleeping in the Arms of Jesus. We're on volume 14, March 18th, 1922. Jesus begins, and then afterwards, Jesus returned and added, "My daughter, Louisa, I feel the need that the creature rests in me and I in her." So here, God is saying that the need that our Lord has for us is that we rest in him, and we rest in him and he rests in us. Okay. So she said, "But do you know when the creature rests in me and I in her? When her intelligence thinks of me, when her intelligence comprehends me and rests in the intelligence of her creator, and that of the creator finds rest in the created mind." So here, everybody is worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. All that the Lord has asked of us to go through, I mean, each of us has a cross in sufferings, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings. And most people complain. They get negative. They get angry with God. One friend of mine is always saying, "Why me? Why me?" He's always saying that. And I'm looking at him going, because God loves you, you know, and they can't get over the fact that they're suffering. And, we're here on earth because of Adam's sin. We're here on earth, because we've been tossed out of paradise. And the reason we're not in paradise is God knew if we ate of the tree of life, not the tree of good and evil, which Adam already did, we would live like this forever. So it's God's mercy that we're not in paradise at this point. But what he says to Louisa is, especially in the beginning of volume 26, you have to return to Eden. I want you to go back to Eden. So if you have never thought of the Garden of Eden, then you're not listening to Jesus. If you've never entered into the Garden of Eden to be there with Adam, then you're not listening to what Jesus is asking of you. To enter this gift is to participate in heaven on earth, which is basically the Garden of Eden. So what the Lord is saying is, when her intelligence, when you think about this, when you enter into this, thinks of me and comprehends me. Okay. How did God create Adam? What did God do to make Adam in his image and likeness, this ruah of God, this breath of God that God breathed into the dust? What came out of the dust was the image of likeness of God. What is this like? What happened at that point? The whole book of heaven shows us that there's no time or space. The whole book of heaven shows us that what God has planned for us is that we begin to live a life that Adam had before the fall. So if we don't know what that life was like, how can we live it? How can we be drawn to it? So he says, again, this is your prayer. When your intelligence thinks of me, this is prayer. St. Francis says, when you pray, you should be filled with joy. When you pray, you should be filled with happiness. And if you don't have that happiness, that joy, he says, you're really not praying. So what are we missing? You know, we pray. Everybody says that. We pray. I know one friend of mine says, "I pray from morning to evening." I said, "Well, God needs more prayer." He goes, "How much prayer am I supposed to pray?" No, it's to enter into this life, to begin to live this abundant life that Jesus has taught Louisa. It's not just reading and saying, oh, I possess it now. You have to enter into it. So what's happening here is Jesus says, when your intelligence thinks of me and comprehends me, the soul rests in the intelligence of our creator. Why? We are to be in God's image and likeness. Okay, so when we think, it should be of God, within, through, and for God, as God is within, through, and for us. So what the Lord is asking of us, what the Lord desires of us, is that we really begin to enter into Eden. I remember it was years ago, and I was praying this, entering into Eden. And honest to goodness, one step, I was outside, it was summertime, one step in the lawn, everything changed. Everything became more beautiful, more spectacular. And just for a glimpse, I saw what Eden would be like. That's not just for me. It's God wants us to enter in and to participate in this life, this abundant life. And it's like thinking about a play, a movie. But when you enter into, when you buy the ticket and enter into it, you begin to experience, you know, with your eyes and your ears, the joy of that play, that theater, if you want to say. How much more does God want this in our spiritual life? The Lord says to Louisa, the gift that I'm giving to the little children of the Holy Divine Will, when you enter into this life, he says, is to begin enter into eternity. You begin to understand this life, this light, this love of God. So a lot of people limit God. A lot of people say, well, I can't do it. God says, fine, you can't. It's up to us whether or not we want this. What did Our Lady say? When the angel came to Our Lady, the angel said, you are going to be the mother of God, basically. She says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I don't know man. And the angel said it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what does Our Lady say? Fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. I am the humble slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. That docility, that surrender, that submission is why God chose Our Lady, because he knew that she could do this. And she could have said no. She had a free will. She could have said, no, I choose to live in my human misery. And no, I don't want this. I can't do this. But she said, at 14, basically, let it be done as you say. What the Lord is asking of us is he's saying, when you think of him, this is the rounds. This is the round of creation. Every morning when you do your prevening act, you should say to God, I want to fuse myself not only with you, Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not only with the Blessed Mother, not only with Louisa, the Trinity in heaven and the reflection of the Trinity on earth, but I want to fuse myself in all of creation so that I can participate in all that you have given. I can say yes to it, fiat to this, how great our God is in all of creation. For every grain of sand, every drop of water, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, I want to say fiat. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to return this divine I love you back to you. So why? So the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven, reestablished on earth as it is in heaven. So the Lord looks at us and he asks us to really begin to think about him. To enter into this life that Adam had before the fall. Adam had a perennial communion with God where he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. We at Holy Mass have a communion with God in a mystical way, the real presence of Christ in a mystical way, where we are with him. He's with us for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves. I mean, think about it. The church, the Mass, Holy Mass ends at the after the blessing, after communion, basically. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion with Jesus. So what does the church do? It stops. Why? So that we can think about him, praise him, glorify him, worship him. We can enter into this abundant life. We can rest in him, communion with him. And that's what our Lord is asking. That's what he's saying. He's saying it very, very clearly. The soul then rests in the intelligence of God. And that of God finds rest in the created mind of man. We were called into existence. You know, God called us into existence. He predestined us to live at this time, to give us the book of heaven. He did not do this for the saints. The saints did the will of God. They learned how to do the will of God. And we learn from the saints, all the great saints. We've learned from their teachings, from their prayers, of how they began to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God had to come from Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. That's why when you read the book of heaven, these knowledges, these manifestations, these truths, these promises that God gives you have to become alive in us. They're not just words. This is when God said, fiat lux, let there be light. All of creation existed. It came into existence. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. And now with our fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. It's a new beginning for mankind, but it's really not new. It's the oldest gift. It's the gift that was given to Adam. And now God wants us to participate in this abundant life. You know, the thing that our God is asking of us is that we begin to understand that this is a new era that we've entered into. Why do you think everything is happening now? I was talking to someone yesterday and, you know, they were discussing, you know, when, you know, something worse was coming to the world than, you know, World War I and World War II, something worse, something far more devastating. And I said, it's here. We're going through it right now. The thing that's so horrible is we have been seduced, tricked, lied to believe that if you do certain things, you're going to be fine. And this seduction, these lies that we're going through is going to cause worldwide devastation. See, the goal of Lucifer is to destroy the children of God. That's the goal of Lucifer. And he's having his way at this point. We have to understand what God is. See, Jesus says, he says four things. He says, number one, there will be a great chastisement. Most people think that's war. It doesn't have to be nuclear. He says, where the large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. Why? That's Lucifer. That's what Lucifer is doing, trying to wipe us off. He started it with abortion worldwide, using contraception worldwide. But now he's ready. He knows his time is over. So he's going to try his darndest to clear us out. So our Lord says to Louisa, this is why it's important. Everybody's doom and gloom, doom and gloom. No, God is in charge. And if we go to God, there's nothing to worry about. So yes, there's going to be a worldwide chastisement where the large majority of humanity will be gone. That's the first point. The second point is my mother is going to mark all the little children the holy divine will, and no harm can come to them. Do you believe that? Or are you still frightened? Are you praying the rosary? Are you wearing the scapulary? Are you following the first Saturday masses, which Our Lady asked? Are you going to confession at least once a month? If you are, there's nothing to worry about. You've been marked by Our Lady. And Jesus says, and no harm can come to those little children of the holy divine will. Then he says later on, the little children of the holy divine will who are marked by my mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. And then finally, he says, the fourth thing he says is the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children in the holy divine will. Why will they survive? Because they are learning how to live this new era. They're learning how to live the universal life, this Catholic life of the divine will. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be complaining about. There's nothing to be negative about. Yes, we are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. But this is our cross, and we can drag it behind us, complaining and being negative, being afraid, or trusting in Jesus. When Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat, and the apostles were frantic, we're going to die, we're going to die, and they wake up Jesus and they say, don't you care? We're all going to die. And Jesus looked at them and he said out loud, be quiet, be still. Scripture says he was talking to the wind and the water and everything calmed down. I believe he was talking to the apostles. And then he looked at them and he goes, where's your faith? Why are you afraid? Don't you trust in me and in the Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master? Don't you trust in him? And it's the same thing today. If our intellect is focused on Jesus, and that's why praying the Holy Rosary is so essential, because every day we're going through the memory of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. We're looking at Jesus when we pray the Holy Rosary through the eyes of his Blessed Mother. And so how can there be any fear? How can there be any anxiety? How can there be any complaints or negativity? How can there be any doubts? See, Jesus, every time he healed someone, he said, it's your faith that has healed you. Your faith in what? Your faith in him. In our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. And that's what he's saying here. When the soul rests in the intelligence of her God, and that of her creator finds rest in the created mind, we begin to live the image and likeness of God. Our Lord was not afraid. I remember one time I was an assistant in a parish, and the pastor at 3 o'clock said, Jesus was afraid. This was on Good Friday. We were 3 o'clock, and he said, Jesus was afraid to die. Jesus was terrified to die. And that's why he cried out to God, you know, Father, Father, do I have to go through this chalice? Do I have to drink this cup? Jesus is afraid to die. And I was shocked. I gave the homily at this is, I don't get to go get along too well with pastors. I gave the homily at 7 o'clock, and I said, if you hear of anybody saying that Jesus was afraid to die, he does not know Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted to die on the cross. That was he came to earth to suffer, crucified, and die. Shed every drop of his blood for us. Jesus wasn't afraid. Mary wasn't afraid. She knew that her son had to die. Either he died or all of us would die. She sacrificed her son for us. She wanted him dead for us. She trusted in God so much that she knew God was going to take care of her son crucified. Jesus crucified. She knew God was going to take care of this. And she said, either he died or we all had to die. Never experiencing the beatific vision. Why do you think Our Lady cries tears of blood? Because mankind is on the way to perdition. They don't believe in her son. They don't accept his crucifixion, his shedding of every drop of his blood for us. And she knows that what Jesus did for them, if they don't turn around, they will lose eternity. They'll never participate of what God died for them so that they could participate in eternal life. This isn't worry. This is a sadness in her heart that her sacrifice of her son, they don't care about. They would rather go to hell than heaven. And that's tears of blood that Our Lady sheds. Our Lord is telling us this very, very clearly. When we comprehend him, when we think of him, and that should be our whole day. Like when you're washing the dishes, Jesus could say to you, why are you washing the dishes? And you go, I'm washing the dishes for the glory of God, for the salvation of souls, so that everyone can participate in this new era that's coming, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. What's happening? You're thinking of God. You're participating in the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what they gave to Louisa. And that's what God is giving to us. So what happens is, when the human will unites with the divine will, okay, this is where the fusion takes place. We want to be one with God. We want this kingdom of God on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. We don't want just to be good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. We want to enter into volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can get into volume 20 through volume 36, how now to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. See, everything is full circle. We go back to that new beginning where Adam died, Adam lost this. Now God wants us to re-enter into this abundant life. So this is what Jesus says. When the human will unites with the divine will, when this happens, that's what he's expecting of us. When this happens, a lot of people say, well, I'm reading the volume, so I have it. No, your intelligence has to comprehend God, infinite God. And how do we comprehend God? It's by love. If we don't know what love is, we haven't meditated on Christ crucified. This is love. This is the power of God. This is the glory of God, Christ crucified. If we don't know the love of God, it's because we haven't spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Hours. Why hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Every day, Jesus asks for at least an hour with him. And with the internet, we can spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament if we wish. Go to live adoration, Eucharistic adoration. Go to a chapel. Put Jesus on your computer, looking at him, adoring him, praising him, thanking him, glorifying him. You know how I see most people in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Most people are either asleep, or they're reading a book, or they're praying their prayers. They're not looking at Jesus. You're there to look at Jesus. When the priest holds the host up and says, "Here is the Lamb of God," that's the time to look. Not to look away, but to look. "I believe in you, Jesus Christ. You're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King. I see you, God, in the monstrance. I see you, God, in the host." That's why it says this. Your intellect has to begin to understand what this is. That woman that touched the hem of Jesus, because in Leviticus it says, the hem of the Messiah will heal you. When she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, the tillet, the strings on the tillet, what happened there? Jesus turned around and said, "Who did this? Who believes I am the Messiah?" And when she confesses, he wouldn't do anything. Who believes this? I want to know. I want to know who did this. He knew who did this. But he had to have her stand up and say, "I did this." And he goes, "Why did you do this? I believe you are the Messiah." The Lord is the same. The Lord does the same thing. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not to look down or look away from him, but to look at him, to focus on him, to praise him and to thank him and to bless him and to worship him, but not humanly. You say to Jesus, "I want to adore you with your own adoration that you give to the Father and the Holy Spirit. I want to praise you with your own praise that you give to the Father and the Holy Spirit. I want you, Lord, to work through me, to speak through me, to adore through me, to praise through me. I want your adoration. I want your glory to come through me to the back to the Father. I want to receive what you have given and give back to God. Breathe in and breathe out. The waves go against the shore. The waves go out. It's always an I love you to God. All of creation gives praise to God. Go back to the Garden of Eden. What is happening in the Garden of Eden? All of creation gives adoration to God through the voice of Adam. Jesus said to Louisa, "I could have put voices on everything to praise me, but I wanted man to be the praise, the glory of divine will back to God. Image and likeness, to do what God does." And that's why your intellect, we've got to begin to get deeper into this. It's not just to read and say, "Well, I possess the gift because I've read." No, you have to comprehend God. So why? The intelligence of God, and you enter into the intelligence of God, and that of God finds rest in man, in the created mind. It's really a new beginning. You're going to discover things that the saints only dreamt about. Why? Because now is the time of sanctification. Jesus said to Louisa, "The divine will is the sacrament of sacraments." Why would Jesus use those terms? It's the sacrament of sacraments. Why would God do that? It's because he wants us to understand that what God has planned for us for the last 2,000 years is a band-aid. It's medicine that God is giving to us. Everyone that was healed 100 years ago is dead. They were healed for a short time. But Jesus says to Louisa, "Now I want the miracle of miracles to happen. I want you to enter into this abundant life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the holy humanity of Jesus, the holy humanity of Mary. And that's why Jesus says, if you have anything that's opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus and Mary, you have to go to purgatory. Any worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, you have to go to purgatory. Why? So that you can be purged of that which is not of the holy humanity of Christ, in order to enter into sharing in divinity. That's why the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is not about being holy and saintly and good. That's volume 1 through volume 10. Yes, we have to have that. But God wants more now. He says, now I'm going to give you the sacrament of sacraments. I'm going to give you the sanctity of sanctity. I'm going to allow my children to begin to share in divinity as my mother did and as the newborn did. She's the firstborn, the newborn, who began to live the true life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So what Jesus is asking, when you go and see him in the Eucharist, don't close your eyes. Look at him. Fall in love with him. How do you fall in love with God? People have asked that question. How do you fall in love with God? By falling in love with God. It's all up to you. Nobody can teach you that. Either you fall in love with God or you don't. How do you fall in love with God? By being with him, learning about him. That's why he says, when her intelligence, when her intellect thinks of me and comprehends me, love, he is love. Last week we heard Jesus saying to Louisa, you must love suffering. He is suffering. Jesus is suffering. We fall in love with Jesus. Jesus is truth. We fall in love with the truth. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Again, it's very, very clear. When the human will unites with the divine will, the two wills embrace and rest together. The two become one. Why do you think God calls heaven the wedding feast? The two become one. Why do we wear the ring? It's to remember that God proposed to us and we said yes. Why? The wedding feast is coming up soon. Either we want this or we don't. Either we anxiously anticipate this or we don't. That's why he says, when the intellect thinks of me and comprehends me. Do we understand that what Jesus tells Louisa is this, that it will be as if each one of us had our own personal Jesus for all eternity. That's what's coming. That's why Jesus says, I want to make a divine masterpiece out of every little child of the holy divine will. God has plans. God has plans. It's not our plans. It's his plans. We got to get out of the way, as Our Lady did. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you say. That's why we genuflect. You're my king. You have the sword of truth, the sword of power. You rule. You over me. You lead me, guide me, direct me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me back to the Father. Bring me to the garden. You'll get a glimpse. You'll get a glimpse of what God has planned for us, how beautiful the garden is. How magnificent this abundant life is about. And God wants us to begin to live it now. That's why he's saying this. That's why he gives us this. He says very clearly, when this happens, God's waiting for this for each and every one of us. When the human will unites with the divine will, the two wills embrace and rest together. They become one. Do you see what God has planned? God came to earth to find a bride. And right now, his bride is a mess. It's wrinkled. The dress is wrinkled. It's covered with stains. When Jesus allows Louisa to see the church, it's falling apart. It's the bride of Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But what's happening? We're seeing very, very clearly that what God has planned is not the plans of man. It's not. And that's why we have to surrender. We have to say to the Lord, let it be done as you wish. Let it be done as you want. God is going to do this. God is purifying. He says, I must purify my church and the world before I give the divine will here on earth as it is in heaven. Why do you think everything's happening now? Because God is getting the world ready for the kingdom. And what St. Thomas Aquinas says is what happens supernaturally is based on the natural. Everything's being purified. Everything. The world, the church, everything. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's to say, Lord, get this done quickly. Why? So your kingdom could be established on earth as it is in heaven, as you had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. All the animals, all the vegetables are alive in the Garden of Eden. Nothing has died there. Nothing is inanimate there. Everything is living. That's our God. He says, I'm God of the living, not of the dead. So this is what he says after this. He says, if human love rises above all created things and loves only its God, if that is true, there's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no sin. And we have to discipline ourselves to do this. I've had people say, well, that's my life. I'm a complainer. Well, then you're going to spend a long time in the flames of purgatory, which St. Thomas Aquinas says are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. You want to go through that or do you want to change? Well, it's really hard for me to stop. Well, you want to go through hell, fires of hell? I don't want to do that. I mean, I've read enough about hell. I've seen demonic. I don't want to get near that stuff. What's coming is the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's coming. So Jesus says this, if human love rises above all created things and loves only its God, what a beautiful rest do God and the creature finally reciprocate. This is what's coming. Everything's going to be healed. Everything's going to be restored. Everything's going to go back to the way it was before the fall. The gates of hell will not prevail. That's a full attack against the church. The church has to be purified. Our lives have to be purified. The world has to be purified. God does not want to lose any one of us. And if we're on the road to perdition, which most families have that, then God says, get out of my way and I'll take care of it. So what do? We consecrate our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, to our nations, to God. And say, Lord, I trust you. You can bring healing. I'm not the Savior. You can bring salvation. You can redeem. You can now sanctify. I trust in you. Do you see why this is the sacrament of sacraments. When this occurs, there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Do you see why God wants the divine will on earth as it is in heaven? Why he asked us right at the beginning, go to the garden. Be there. At least Jesus, Mary, and Louisa are there. Why? They're enjoying the spectacular creation of Adam. Image and likeness of God. And now God sees us. He has come to redeem us. Our Lady sacrificed her son for us. Why? So that the kingdom can be reestablished. We can go back to where we were before the fall. Image and likeness of God. It's a new beginning that's coming, and it's not new because it's what God wanted from the beginning. We're going back full circle to the beginning, to the garden. And our job is to repair and redo when we do our rounds and we do our acts in the divine will, to repair and redo not only for our own life, but for all of mankind. We stand in the breach for all of mankind. And we say to the Lord, I want this to be repaired. So when we see something awful happening, you know, against Christ, against his church, against our families, against our nation, we say to the Lord, number one, thank you for showing this to me. Thank you for making me aware of this. Number two, I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. You don't want this. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Blessed Mother. We know of your tears of blood. And I want to repair this, one with you, Jesus, one with Mary, in order to repair and redo as if this never occurred. Bring healing to everyone that has been affected. Do you see what God is doing? He's asking us, this is why he says, this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. He says, this is so amazing what God is doing that he's asking us to embrace this. So Jesus says, the one who gives rest finds it. I, God, become her bed, and I, God, keep her in the sweetest sleep, clasped in my arms. Therefore, come and rest in my bosom. He's asking us, come to me, Jesus says. Come to me and I will take care of everything. When there's thunder and lightning outside and the little child is frightened, she runs to the arms of her mother, arms of her father. Help me. God says, it's going to be all right. Just like a good mother and a good father says to their children, it's going to be all right. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary. Through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that everyone becomes divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And that concludes our Cenacle for today. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone.